Before I do, Esther and I, we're just volunteers for Compassion. So we don't work for them. We have no commission this morning. There's no pressure on us. We just enjoy celebrating with different churches exactly what you've given to children over the last 12 months. There's a guy that was in our last church or is in our last church who works for Compassion, and we just tag team with him. And he just drops in different locations for us, and we're just here because we love what Compassion does. And if you don't understand or know anything about Compassion, Compassion is a Christian organization, and their primary focus is to bring children and families to a knowledge of Jesus and his love. And that's what gets me. That's why I like Compassion. And that's why I sponsored my first child, Pauline, probably 5 years ago now. Esther has a child, Esther. She's got... so that was an easy choice for her. So we've got two children ourselves, four other children, six other grandchildren. One just born this week, Lucy. So we're busy, a busy Christmas. So we love Compassion and the fact that they change lives and actually change communities. And what Compassion do is that they link in with local churches. We've got a little guy here, a little fella here. His name is Neymar. So anyone that follows football, you'll know that name. And he's 5 years old and he lives in Peru. And so what Compassion do is that they get involved in the local churches so that they would get involved with Ormskirk Christian Fellowship. And they would speak to, if I can remember these names, Mike, Dave. Are you a Dave as well? Thought you were. I've just been spying on you on your website. I listened to a few sermons as well. So I think I listened to yours last week. Just see what you're all about. And what they do is they link in with the local church and they say, right, what families are in need? What children are in need? And they get them engaged. They find out what's going on. And then they send people like Esther and I to come and say, listen, there's a young guy called Neymar in Peru who's in poverty. Poverty struck their family for whatever reason. And we're looking for sponsors. And we're going to watch at the end of what I say this morning a story about a young girl called Hilda. I think you watched one last year about Richmond. I don't know whether you remember the one about Richmond. Fantastic. If you go on to Compassion, you can see him. An amazing guy that his father actually was took out the home and shot dead, killed. And so the family couldn't afford to stay in the home. They went and lived in the slums. And Richmond and his family lived in absolute poverty. And then somebody came along from Compassion and said, we've got some hope to bring to you. And that guy, now I met him, was it last year, the year before, who now is international. He looks after all the pastors in Ghana. He runs big conferences, but came from the slums because there was a young girl called Heather that I had to keep looking at my wife. She's my brains. A young girl called Heather at 15 years old decided to give all of her her savings and her paper round money and pocket money and to sponsor this young child called Richmond and changed his life. And now he's changing thousands of people's lives. That's what I love about Compassion. And so Compassion then, like I say, send people like us to say, hey, we've got some profiles on the back here, just like young Neymar here. And the challenge this morning, and just listening to some of those testimonies this morning, about the responsibility that is upon us, the responsibility that was upon Mary to take on the challenge and say, okay, I'll look after your child. It's amazing. And so we've got some stats for you of what you did. So if we can just pop them up there. So Ormskirk Christian Fellowship, this is your celebration service, and we're delighted to celebrate with you. If you can flick onto our next slide there. Okay, you are sponsoring at the moment 12 children. Now, if that's incorrect, I had a word with Dave before. If there's more, then we will make sure that this gets adjusted. But at the moment, the records show that you as a fellowship are sponsoring 12 children's lives. Next slide. Okay, in 11 different countries, I believe that you sponsored a project in India. Obviously, there's been complications in India, like there is in a lot of countries at the moment. So you're spread about all over the place. So you're touching the world here this morning in Ormskirk, which is absolutely fantastic. I don't know whether you recognise any of the children. There's a few nodding heads here this morning, which is fantastic. So across the bottom there will be one of your children. They're probably a lot older now if you've had them a couple of years. You know how kids change. So 11 different countries you are impacting. Now, our next slide. So you've got two in Ethiopia, one in Tanzania, Bolivia, Indonesia, Colombia, Guatemala, and then five more in five other countries. So you're all over the place, which is fantastic. Next slide. So last year, 57 letters came and went from here. 29 were sent by the beneficiaries and 28 by eight sponsors. I want to thank you for those letters this morning. I want to thank you for what you have sent. The money is one thing. £25 a month is one thing. But let me say this morning that the money is the least important thing to those children, believe it or not. What is important are the letters. I'm terrible at letter writing. And they've changed now, the way that they do it. And you can do it online. And it's very, very quick. But the children love your letters. And it's the letters that speak into their lives. When you see Hilda's story and you hear Richmond's story, it was the letters that were sent through to them saying that you're special and that you're chosen. That God has a plan and God has a purpose for your life. God has something in his mind for you. And you're special and you're loved. And we care for you and we want to help you and invest in you. And it's all those words that speak into those children's lives. Because poverty is a massive big voice that has taken over their lives. The fact that they have nothing, they feel like they're nothing, they're having to scavenge for food. You know how we feel when the bank account gets low. I know I feel when a bill comes through the door and it's a push to pay it. These children have difficulty even to live. And when those letters come and say that you are special and that I love you and I care for you and I'm sponsoring you, how are you doing? How are you doing at school? You know, what's your favourite colour? What do you like at school? What's your plans for the future? I'm praying for you. I'm investing in you. It speaks life into those children and changes their understanding of themselves and that there is a God that is caring for them through your voice. I think it's amazing. So thank you for your letters and keep writing. Next slide. So you've got four girls currently and eight boys that you are sponsoring. Next slide. So since the partnership that you started last year, it says that there was more than 16,940 hours spent by our children at our project. So they get they're on skirt, they go to school, they get educated, they go to Sunday school, they go to church. So that's the amount of hours spent by the children on the project. So it's 4,235 nutritious meals provided, 96 medical checks, and 28 Bibles given to children in the project. Fantastic. That all those stats are something that you guys are doing and that you're investing. Fantastic. Next slide. So your financial support over the last 12 months has been $7,500, just over. I mean, that is a huge amount of money. A huge amount of money that you've invested. And, you know, it goes out £25 at a time and any other additional gifts that you give to your child. But it begins to impact. When you see it like that over 12 months, you know, if those that count the offering this morning saw $7,500 in the offering, I'm sure they'll have a big smile on their face and just think, wow, what a generous bunch we've got here. And that's what you are. You're generous. That is what you have given over and above your tithes and your offerings. And the number of additional gifts given to children in the past year are 19. That's a high number. Fantastic. And I want to celebrate that. And I feel really humbled at what you guys are doing. You're changing people's lives. And this gives an opportunity as well. Compassion gives an opportunity. If you're working full time, it's very hard to get involved in sometimes day-to-day running of the church, to get involved in things that are inside school hours and work hours and all that kind of stuff. And compassion just gives an avenue where you think, okay, I can't physically get to whatever is going on, but I can financially give and I can write a letter and I can change somebody's life. Next slide. Amazing. Thanks for making an incredible change. It's brilliant what you are doing. And I just, in the middle of all that, just want to, I've just got a little bit of a message just laid on my heart for you. And then we'll finish off with Hilda's story. And at the end of our time together, Esther and I will just be on the back there. There will be an opportunity for you to invest in a child's life. It is £25 a month. It's no minimal sum. It is something that does come out your account and will cost you. And I just ask you, as you've been in this meeting this morning, and as you consider, have you got the resources? Or maybe you can, we were somewhere last week, and they're sponsoring somebody as a connect group, as a life group within the church, which I thought was a brilliant idea. Because not everybody, I understand, can afford £25 a month. But if five people in a connect group can give £5 a month, that's a child sponsored. So there's many, many different ways that you can sponsor a child. But we'll be there afterwards. If you're not quite sure, you want a bit more information, Esther's the fount of all knowledge. So speak to her. We'll just help you. We've got some stuff for you to take away if you're not quite sure. But we'll be there at the end of our service this morning. You know, in Matthew chapter 28, Matthew 25, Jesus talks about a man that's going on a journey. And it starts in verse 14. And it says, again, it will be like a man. And he's talking about the responsibility upon us as believers, the responsibility upon us as those that are disciples and followers of Christ. It says that he called his servants and he entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another he gave 2 bags, to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went away on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground and buried his master's money. I'm not going to read the rest of it just for the sake of time, but there's just 3 little phrases in this parable that I want to pull out. And the first one, it says that the man that went on the journey entrusted. The man entrusted his wealth to them. I want to say this morning that God has entrusted his wealth into our lives. What does Paul say? That we've got this treasure in earthen vessels. And there is treasure in each and every one of you here this morning. And you might not think it's that shiny. You might not think it's 24 karat gold. You might think it's very, very little and it's on the back shelf in the jewelers. That doesn't matter. Because this parable talks about the value and the amount doesn't matter. It's the very fact that something has been entrusted to you. There's a portion of God's wealth in you that needs to come out of you and that needs to be invested in this world. what God entrusted to you. It may be a spiritual gift, or it may be a gift of helps. It may be a gift of making those cards on the back. It may be a gift of compassion and love, and that you're great at sitting down and having a coffee in Costa. It may be that you're just great at just including people. It may be that you just got a gift of being able to be a random act of kindness. And actually, that just brought back a little scenario that happened to me several years ago. And I was in the queue, I think in Morrison's or somewhere, and there was a woman here, and she was quite an old lady, and she was rooting through her purse, through her coins, trying to pay for the meal. And I just put my hand over her purse, and I said, "It's covered." And she looked up at me, because there's not many people that look up at me. and she looked up at me, and I said, "It's covered. Just take your meal away." I said to the lady serving, I said, "Put her bill on my bill." And it's that whole sense of reaching out and bringing love and bringing kindness into somebody else's world. When you move with compassion, you see something. And I don't know what your gifts are, but I know that in every single one of you that there has been deposited treasure. And here we find that with the servants, he entrusted his wealth to them. And whatever the amounts were, whether it's 5, 2, or 1, it says that he gave each according to his ability. And that ability doesn't matter whether that ability is right up here and you can lead worship fantastically, or your ribbon band. I thought they were, or ribbon choir. I thought they were fantastic. She was so expressive, the little one here. You know, and there is a gift in every single person, and you just see it come out. And it says, each according to his or her ability. And it says, then the man went off on his journey. And it says, and the man with the 5 bags of gold, and also the one with 2, says he put his money to work. He entrusted, he gave according to each man's ability, and they put their money to work. And I want to challenge us this morning. Are we putting our treasure to work? Or am I being like man number 3, who's just going to dig a big hole and think, I've only 1 bag, it's only little me, there's nothing much that I can give, I don't see myself as a big speaker or a worship leader, I don't see myself multi-talented, or I don't see myself an outspoken person and an extrovert. And the church has gone very extrovert at this time. We need the introverts. The introverts, I find, are the most impactful people that God needs them, I think, more than loudmouths like me. That can see their individual needs, that have a heart just to see the things that other people don't see. And whatever that bag of gold is, whatever your treasure is, your responsibility is to use it and not to bury it. And maybe this morning you're thinking, yeah, I've buried my treasure. I'm burying my money in my bank account, and I'm not emptying it for the kingdom. I'm thinking more about my retirement. I'm thinking more about Brexit. I'm thinking, shouldn't say that, should I? I'm thinking more about the uncertain future. You know, as Dave rightly said, let's not be anxious for anything. Our money can disappear like that. And my heart is to invest in the kingdom. Our heart should be to invest in the kingdom. And so it's important for us to not bury what we have, but to be open-handed. And to reach out to those that we come across, those within our church family, those within our own family, those that we meet in the supermarket, in the town centres, especially over this festive season where everyone is just, that we should just be that peace. We should just be that joy. We should be those that are able just to stop people in the tracks and think, hang on, this is a fantastic time. Let's be joy bringers. You know, it says in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, however, Christ has given each of us special abilities. Each of us special abilities. The ability that you've got is unique and special. Paul says, I'm going off into all kinds of things at the moment. I'm trying to keep focused. But Paul says, don't measure yourselves one with another. Don't look at those on your left and your right and compare and measure and get that spiritual tape measure out and think, well, there's no way that I'm there 6 foot. I'm only, 300 mil tall. Let's not compare ourselves with one another. We compare ourselves to Christ. And that I'm made in his image. And what I've got is what God has invested in me. And it says that he has given every one of us special ability. Whatever your ability is special and it's unique. Yeah. And don't count it anything less. And it says there that whatever he wants us to have out of his rich storehouse of gifts. The psalmist tells us about this. For he says, then when Christ returned triumphantly to heaven after his resurrection and victory over Satan, he gave generous gifts to men. Christ ascended and down came gifts. You're one of those gifts. What's in you is one of those gifts for the world that you live in. What's in your hand to give away? What's in your life? What's in your character? What's in your nature? What's in your account? You know, what's in your experience that you can give away? Don't turn to it. But in 1 Kings, we read about a young woman that had or said that she had very little. You know, the preacher came along, the church came along and said, I want you to give me what you have. And she said, well, I've only got a little bit of flour and I've got a little bit of oil. And that's all I've got. And all I'm going to do is make our last meal and then we're going to wrap ourselves together and we're going to die. And that's all I've got. And the preacher, the church, whoever you want to put, said, okay, fine, that's okay, but make me a meal first. And she's probably thinking, hang on, you're not listening to me. This is my last meal. And he says, yeah, I know it is, but make me a meal first. And you think, hang on, this is a bit unfair. But God's economy is very different than our own economy. And actually, Jesus said that if you try and save your life, you will lose it. But if you'll give your life away for my sake, you'll find it. And so this woman thought, hang on, so this is my last meal with me and my son. And now the church, compassion, whatever it is wanting to take away my last meal, is putting demands on me. And she said, okay, not a problem. If that's what God wants, if that's what my Lord wants, then I'll do it. And so she made him a cake. And it says that jar of oil never ran out. And that the flour, the vat of flour never ran out. And in the land at that time, there was a famine. And she started to feed everybody else because of her obedience. And that's what makes the change in people's lives, is that our obedience, and that it's not what I see, it's what you see. I hear the words of Jesus when he's in the garden, and Jesus, when Jesus said, listen, Lord, can you take this away from me? I can't afford this emotionally and physically. This is a big ask. This is going to be painful. The cross is going to be hard. It's going to be humiliating. Can you take this away from me? Because I don't want to walk down this path. But then he said, okay, it's not about me. It's not about my will. It's not about my credibility. It's not about my ministry. It's not about me. It's about you. So I'll do whatever you want me to do. And thank God that he did, because that's why we're here this morning. And when we begin to give away and we take on the responsibility that God puts in our lives and we begin to give away the treasure, we'll find that other people start getting connected to God because of your obedience. People find love. People find healing. People find help. People find worth again. They find hope again. They find that somebody cares for them again, because you've given away some of the treasure that's in you. Some of that love. Some of that care. Some of you ladies with a mother's heart. You know, some of you fellas that, you know, can get alongside some of these young fellas and just smack them around the face a little bit and say, come on, you know, I'm gonna help you to grow up into a fine man and give away some of the stuff that you've gone through in your life. Maybe some of your failed marriages, maybe some of the financial heartache that you've gone through, some of the stuff that you've discovered where God's give you a helping hand and shown you the way to live a better life. And you can get alongside some of these young men and say, hey, come on. God's got a plan for your life. God's got a purpose for your life. This is how God wants you to live. And give away some of that awesome treasure that's in your life. And we find that right at the end of this story, her needs were fully met because she was willing to be obedient. You know, just coming up to Christmas, you know, we read about Joseph in the New Testament, who took on a responsibility that wasn't his. An angel came to him and said, your wife, Mary, well, she wasn't his wife, she was his betrothed, she was his fiance, said that she's going to have a child, it's not yours, but I want you to take that child on as if it's your own. And, you know, the custom of the day was that he was going to pack her off because she would have got stoned. And he was going to put her away and just try and push the whole thing away to save the embarrassment and everything else. But along came a voice. Along came a voice. It was an angel. And said, I want you to take on that responsibility, because that child is going to be the savior of the world. That child is going to be a gift to mankind. And he went, right, okay. I'll take on that responsibility. Whatever people say about us, whatever people say about child out of wedlock, whatever forces come, whatever Herod says, wherever you want us to go, however we need to care for that child, I will take on that responsibility. And I think he stepped out of that dream and out of that sleep, just with his shoulders back, and said, right, okay, Mary, I've got a job to do. I've got to take on this responsibility. And we don't really talk much about Joseph. But when you think about what he had to take on, he had to take on another man's child. That's what we're doing with compassion, actually. We're taking somebody else's child on. Another child that actually belongs to God. And you know what Jesus said? He said, you know, to all the religious people, you know, he said, you never fed me. He said, you never clothed me. You never gave me anything to drink. And he said, well, when did we see you homeless? When did we see you thirsty and hungry? He said, when the least of one of these were going hungry, you never reached out to them. You never gave away what you had. So I'm not here for the hard sell. I'm here that we might just be treasure in this world. Treasure to the brokenhearted. Treasure to those that are hopeless and helpless and lost. Those around Ormskirk that just need the love of God in their life, that need hope to come back. We are the churches, the hope of the world. And I just want to close and just for you to consider, number one, what treasure that you've buried that needs to come out again. You need to get a shovel out and go grave robbing. And get out that's in you, because the world is poorer because of that. My life, the church's life, your family's life are poorer for the treasure that you've buried. Get it out, because there's something amazing in you. There's an ability, there's a gift, there's a treasure that you need to get out and that you need to begin to share, especially around Christmas time, where emotions are high. Where those that are living right on the breadline, it really magnifies that. Those that are living without anybody, those that are lonely, it magnifies it. Those that are feeling hurt, those that have probably had a marriage breakup, it's around Christmas time that is a bad time. We can just step into all those situations with the treasure and the gifts that are within us. And lastly, that if you want to just invest, you want to put some treasure into a child's life, we're at the back there after this service, and we'll just help you, and you want to commit yourself, we'll hold your hand through that. Amen. Amen. Lord, I thank you this morning, Lord, for this amazing fellowship. Lord, I thank you for the commitment of the leadership. Lord, I thank you for their service. Lord, I thank you for their sacrifice. Lord, I thank you for everything that they do here. Lord, and I thank you for the congregation as a whole. Lord, I thank you for the light that they are in this town. And Lord, I pray that as we move out from this place this morning, there'll be a real sense of urgency, a real sense that we're here to not only feed ourselves, not only to look after ourselves, but we're here to invest in the world that we live in and to make a change and to be light bringers. And Lord, I pray that as all the lights and the stars and the illuminations go up around the towns and this town, Lord, that this church will illuminate your love into the lives of many. Lord, I pray for every family that's represented here, every wife, every husband, every child, every aunt, every uncle, every cousin, every family member. Lord, I pray for every friend that's represented here, every situation, Lord, that we would bring light and life and peace at this time. Lord, and Lord, we just give ourselves afresh to you. And Lord, that we want to be as the man with the five or the two bags of gold, that we go out and we put our treasure to work. Lord, and I just pray for any that have been hurt, been damaged, that happens in church, that happens in life, that have caused them to sink their treasure and to put it in a hole. For whatever has happened, whatever has hurt has come about over the years, whatever has been said and has caused damage, Lord, I pray today would be a day of healing. And today would be a day of restoration. And Lord, today will be a day that they recognize that we only live this life once. This is not a rehearsal. This is it. This is it. This is our chance. This is our turn. This is our time in life. And that we redeem every moment that we possibly can. And so I pray that today would be a day that a mark is put in the ground. And that treasure is resurrected and is birthed and opened up and distributed once again. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen.